Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee to order. It's 2:47, March 17th, 2009. With me this afternoon is my co-chair, Senator Hoffman, Senator Olson, Senator Thomas, and myself, Senator Stedman. We have a quorum. There's two things on the agenda this afternoon, and we are running a little late, so we're going to probably try to keep up a pretty good pace so we can get this done by 4:30. By 4:30 is the targeted time. We're going to start with the Department of Natural Resources, and then we're going to do the Department of Fish and Game on their FY10 capital budget requests. If we have a representative from DNR, who wants to come forward from DNR? You can go ahead and introduce yourself for the record, who you represent.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Lita Simons. I'm the Support Services Director for the Department of Natural Resources.
Okay. And we have our pink sheets, so we'll just have you go down the appropriations. And if need be, we'll stop you for questions, and we might have some allocation questions, but we'll concentrate on the appropriations.
Okay, thank you. The first item on the list is continuing federal funding for the Coastal Impact Assistance Program. The funding is continuing, but the amount has increased dramatically for this this particular request. These are formula funds under the Federal Energy Policy Act of 2005, and this amount represents a substantial increase from the $3 million that we normally receive. The increase is due to the new federal offshore leases in the Chukchi Sea, which increased Alaska's share. And the funds need to have to be used for conservation, protection, or restoration of coastal areas, mitigation of damage to fish, wildlife, or natural resources, implementation of a comprehensive conservation management plan, mitigation of impact of outer continental shelf activities, and other planning and administrative costs. This funding is not expected to continue. It's a one-time allocation, as far as we know at this point. The project approvals are being made by the Oceans Cabinet that consists of a representative from the Governor's Office and representatives from DEC, DNR, Fish and Game, and also final approvals are made by U.S. Department of Interior Minerals Management Services. Spending plan is that 40% of the funds will go to affected municipalities, such as including North Slope, Northwest Arctic Borough. 40% will go for state projects, for which applications have been solicited from all state agencies, and the remainder, 18% to non-state projects, which will be administered by Department of Commerce.
Go ahead and continue.
Thank you. Next item on the list is wildland fire truck replacement. This is as per an ongoing replacement plan. $625,000 was approved in fiscal year 09. The request in fiscal year 10 is for $750,000. It's for periodic replacement of critical firefighting equipment that's essential for safety, efficiency, and effectiveness. This will purchase six Type 6 engines. Planned locations are Fairbanks, Matsu, Soldat, Natoke, Copper River, and Delta. This, again, is ongoing. You can expect to see some similar requests in the future on fire truck replacement.
We've been joined by Senator Huggins. We're on page 6 of DNR on the appropriations.
The next item, state parks, deferred maintenance, and emergency repairs, has been moved to the fiscal year 09 supplemental.
And why was that done?
My understanding is that it was moved there to take advantage of two reasons. Take advantage of using the cruise ship gambling tax appropriation, and since that was the planned source of funding, there was no reason to wait until fiscal year 10. If they moved into fiscal year 09 supplemental, we could access the money faster and use it more efficiently with the funds that we got last year to do contracts and get ready for summer.
That covers those allocations?
Yes.
Through 15?
That's correct.
We'll go on to 17. page.
Yes. Next is Land and Water Conservation Fund, federal grant program. This is $600,000 in this federal grant program, provides matching funds for development of outdoor recreation areas. Most of the funds are passed through to cities and boroughs and have been used in the past for ball fields, trails, ski areas, swimming pools, playgrounds, municipal parks, and a variety of projects. Our existing state expenditures are used as a match for these funds, and they can also be used to help pay for some park improvements. Recent state park projects have included Glen Alps Caretaker Cabin and Chugach State Park, and campground improvements in Nancy Lake and Harding Lake State Rec areas. The next item, 19, this was deleted in the governor's amended.
And could you address that briefly? I see that it's phase two of two.
It is phase two of two. Last year we received $1.5 million in phase one for A&E Architecture and Engineering design for a new geologic materials center in Eagle River. This year, with the price of oil, basically, most of the projects that were to be funded with general funds, we were asked to be very conservative and forego them unless timing was of the essence. And in this particular project, it was concluded that we could wait another year to complete the A&E.
Okay.
Next item is Alaska Plant Materials Center Facility Maintenance and Improvements. This was also deleted in the fiscal year 10 amended for the same reason. It's general funds, and it was concluded that we could wait another year for these improvements.
Okay.
And that takes us through 22, 23, and I guess we're missing 24, 25. The next item, 27, is Trunk Road Facility Relocation, $2.4 million in general fund. This is has to do with fire suppression preparedness. We have a steel-constructed building. It's 10,000 square feet, plus a lean-to, which was built in 1990 for $2.7 million on land that was leased from the University of Alaska. University subsequently sold the land along with the lease, and DNR was given a three-year notice in 2007 to remove the building or forfeit it. This relocation will protect the state's investment and maintain the facility for use for fire engines and initial attack response. So basically, we need to move it or lose it. Timing is of the essence here, which is why it's still in the budget. And moving it is quick. Reconstruction could take much longer. This is a one-time cost. No additions are expected in subsequent years.
It just seems kind of odd that the state would lease a facility from the University of Alaska and we'd have the land sold out from underneath us and be evicted. So is there any additional information on that, why that lease was structured in such a loose term, or the university took such an aggressive action?
Mr. Chairman, the land was leased, and we built the building on the land, and so that's what we lost, was our lease on the land when it changed ownership. And I do have, I believe I have either Chris Mace or Dean Brown on the line that could discuss this in more detail.
What was the name?
Chris Mace or Dean Brown.
I don't see him on my list. You can have somebody get back to us on why we would have entered a lease and not had more defensive terms.
Okay.
Well, I guess he's there. There's one from forestry. Chris?
Mace?
Correct.
Yes, this is Chris Okay. Mace, state forester.
Yes, can you help us with that question?
I can't answer your question. I don't know the details of the lease. And why that there may not be a more generous term in regards to sale of the property. I do know the property is located next to the new hospital that was just built in the Palmer area, and the sale of the land had to do with the additional expansion of the hospital facility.
Okay.
But I can do a little bit of research on the terms of the lease and for how long the lease was for.
Right.
Get back to you on that.
That'd be fine. We can go to the next item.
Next item is land sales. This is an ongoing activity for new subdivision development. The fiscal year 10 request is for $3.5 million from the Land Disposal Income Fund. This is ongoing use of that fund to, of those funds to propose, design, develop, survey, and build roads for new subdivision sales. Next item, number 32, was moved to the operating budget. This is remote recreational cabin site surveys and appraisals, and we can address that in the operating budget since it has moved. The next item is abandoned mine lands reclamation federal program. This is continuing federal money. Fiscal year 10 request for $3 million. Provides federal funding for reclamation of areas mined before enactment of the Federal Surface Mining Control and Reclamation Act of 1977. The work is done mainly via contract, with contractors employing approximately 25 to 35 seasonal workers. Since the inception, the program has identified 16 coal sites and 124 non-coal sites requiring reclamation at a cost of $42 million. It's expected that another $37 to $45 million in work will be identified before the end of the program. Okay. Next item is Alaska Coastal Management Federal Pass-Through Grants. $1.36 million federal pass-through money for ACMP, consistent with prior years. This is an annual grant provided by NOAA. Next item is federal and local government-funded forest resource and fire program projects, $3.5 million in national fire plan funds for FireWise education and stewardship. The next item, number 43, was moved to the operating budget. This is for private and public forest assessment. It was a request for funding that's needed in order to continue our federal funds, and we will address that in the operating budget.
Okay.
Next item, number 46, is Alaska Boating Safety Program. $1.25 million for the boating safety program, consistent with prior years of federal funding, and it includes $200,000 in vehicle registration fees as a source of funding. Next item.
Maybe on that, could you spin us up a little bit about what you actually do in your boater safety program?
Mr. Chairman, I have James King with State Parks on the line to that he can add more detail to that.
Mr. King, if you're, can you answer that question?
Yes, this is James King, the director of the Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation. The boating safety program, the most notable thing that people recognize is the kids don't float boards that are around the state with life jackets on them. The exciting thing about those boards are there are 17 documented saves or children who have gone into the water with those kids don't float life jackets on. In addition to that, we also do a lot of education going into classrooms and to user groups and camps and teaching youth and adults boating safety. We've done a cold water immersion safety video. We've done a lot of PSAs, working really hard to teach people the dangers of cold water immersion and how to boat safely so that we don't have as many fatalities. And since this program has started 10 years ago, the number of recreational related drownings has been going down.
And then is this program going to lapse this year, or is this an ongoing program?
Mr. Chairman, there is a sunset clause, and we are in the House. There is a bill pending to terminate or extend that sunset clause. So yes, it is up for review this time.
And then is the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, is there overlap with this program, and or is there any funding shortages between these two programs?
Mr. Chairman, they work closely together. The Alaska Boating Safety Program is focused on recreational boating, and AMC is focused more on the commercial boating that happens, but there is some overlap. They do work closely together. There is some sharing of funds to make sure that we're getting a consistent message out to all boaters in Alaska.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Looking at the prior funding history, in 2006, it says it's 97% complete. In 2007, it's 75% complete. In 2008, it says 25% complete. So there still is funds from the last three appropriations under this category?
Through the chair, Mr. Hoffman, Senator Hoffman, one of the challenges is this is federal money, and it comes through a grant, and so the fiscal years don't line up very well with the state fiscal year. And so, yes, currently there is still money, but we're expending that money now to carry forward the program. So by the end of the federal fiscal year, that number will have expended that money. And what happens, this federal money can be used in a variety of ways. Education is the top priority and what we focus on the most. In the end, if there's a little bit of money that didn't get expended on those educational programs, it generally goes towards safety improvements, things like boat launch ramps or other facilities that benefit those recreational boaters.
Okay, thank you. Okay, go ahead and continue, please.
Okay, thank you. Item number 50 is a continuing federal funding for National Historic Preservation Fund federal grant program. $1.2 million for the operating grant, consistent with prior year funding for the State Historic Preservation Office. It includes $200,000 worth of general fund match. Item number 53 is the National Recreational Trails Grant federal program. This is also continuing federal money, $900,000 for this grant. These funds are passed through to organizations, agencies, and local governments as grants for recreational trail development and maintenance. Recent grantees have included Ketchikan Gateway Borough, Mat-Su Borough, Wasilla, Fort Yukon, Homer, Galena, Barrow, Cordova, Aleknagik, and Circle. Item number 56 was deleted in the amended, and as mentioned before, general funded CIP projects that we felt could wait a year were deleted from the budget. Next is Mat-Su Borough Hydrogeology Assessment. This is phase two of three. Request is for $295,000 in general fund. In portions of the Mat-Su Borough, we have increasing demands on groundwater, and it's causing concern for the aquifer's ability to provide sufficient high-quality water to meet demand. The study's goal is to provide DNR with knowledge to effectively manage the groundwater resources in that area. Next item is the Cooperative Water Resource Program, Division of Mining, Land, and Water. This is $300,000 in statutory designated program receipts, and this is an ongoing activity. DNR accepts funds from the private sector and local governments, and we're able to pass those funds through to USGS and U.S. Natural Resources Conservation Services as part of the funding agreement for the Cooperative Water Resource Program. This funding pays for the installation and operation of equipment to obtain hydrologic data. Next item is another ongoing federal grant program, snowmobile trail development and program grants. I'm sorry, it's vehicle registration receipts, $250,000. Funds are spent approximately 69% for direct grants to various organizations and agencies for trail and trailhead development, 17% for safety and education programs, and 14% for grant administration and support of the statewide snowmobile trails advisory committee. Next item is mental health land trust land development, and that has been moved to the operating budget. Item number 72 is mental health trust facilities maintenance. This is still in the capital budget. It's $350,000 of mental health trust funds. This will fund ongoing property management, snow removal, maintenance, and repair of mental health trust properties. Number 74 is Chilkoot River Bear Viewing Area. This was moved to the operating budget. Next item, number 76, is gas pipeline implementation. This request is for $3.2 million. These funds cover costs associated with the implementation of AGEA and would be used to retain outside experts and consultants on continued gas pipeline analysis, including pipeline engineering and practices, analysis and advice on tariffs, royalty valuation methodology, enforcement and remedies related to license terms and conditions, et cetera. The next item is reservoir studies to evaluate oil and gas resources on the North Slope. This request is for $4 million. This is phase two of three. And the evaluation of oil and gas resources on the North Slope is related to the gas pipeline and that it will help the state determine the amount of gas that should be delivered through the pipeline as opposed to the amount that should be used to maximize oil production. And optimal use, of course, will help maximize state revenue. And our last item, number 80, is gas pipeline corridor geologic hazards and resources, phase four of five. This request is for $300,000. This will allow continuation of geologic mapping, hazard assessment, and resource evaluation along the proposed natural gas pipeline corridor from Delta Junction to the Canadian border.
Okay. Thank you for your presentation, and I do appreciate the backup, and then I appreciate the department putting it in priority order.
Thank you.
So that is appreciated when we have to do reductions. We'll go on now to Fish and Game. Brief at ease. Do you introduce yourself for the record and who you represent? We'll roll through it.
Yes, sir. My name is Tom Lawson. I'm the Admin Services Director for Fish and Game. So the first item in front of you is the statewide annual deferred maintenance, repair, upgrades, and equipment project. This project is for $850,000 of general fund. And this project provides for repair, maintenance, and renovation of Fish and Game facilities statewide and vessel and aircraft repair and maintenance. This is an annual request. It was cut by $250,000 from the governor's original capital budget request. So $400,000 goes to our maintenance of our more than 40 areas. We have bunkhouses, warehouses, cabins, and that kind of thing, and we have to do pretty much annual maintenance on each one of those. I think there's a list in your packet of projects that total almost $3.5 million. The other major part of this project is $400,000 for the maintenance of the commercial fishing vessels. We have six research vessels that are based in Sitka, Petersburg, Juneau, Homer, Cordova, Kodiak, and we use them in terms of monitoring our various fisheries and doing research. The final element of this project is $50,000 for aircraft maintenance. Commercial Fisheries Division and Wildlife Conservation Division both have aircraft and spread pretty much the northern areas of the state for wildlife conservation and Kodiak for confish. So we have to do annual maintenance on those aircraft, so that's what that project is about.
And what I see there was a reduction here of $250,000. What aren't you going to do? What did you delete?
Mr. Chairman, what we're going to do is we're going to trim back a little bit on the deferred maintenance of the various facilities, and we have enough of a backlog that we can survive a year with a little bit less money. So that's basically it.
So is it the airplanes or the fishing vessels or the
and the various
land facilities? What?
Yeah, we basically trim back on all the three areas just to, you know, accommodate a general reduction in terms of our project.
And then looking forward, do you still feel that the 1.1 million targeted maintenance numbers are a reasonable number when you look forward the next several years?
Pretty much, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Go ahead and go continue.
Okay, the next project is data and infrastructure backup. This project is for $175,000 of general fund. This project would allow the purchase of hardware and software for data backup in Anchorage and Fairbanks. Fish and Game recently experienced a serious server data loss in its headquarters office, and the backup systems were actually functioning, but because of a flaw in the design of the way the backup worked, we not only lost the backup, but we lost the original data too, and it was very expensive in terms of trying to put it back together. But what we found too is that we had inadequate backup systems in place in Anchorage and Fairbanks as well. So what we're basically doing is doing a complete makeover of our backup systems and basically just acknowledging that the data that we have gathered are very critical assets and we need to take care of them. So that's what this project is about.
Is it 2 years ago they were what we lost the dividend data? Or last year? 2 years ago?
2 years ago, I think.
Yeah, 2 years ago we had a data loss dealing with the permanent fund information, dividend data. As far as man hours, give us a little 30-second update on what was the impact. I see you've got a request here for a backup of what, from an operational standpoint, what type of a time did you consume losing the data and then having to re-enter it all or rebuild it all or whatever you did?
Mr. Chairman, I'm gonna give you a seat of the pants estimate, but I would say it's probably at least equal to the amount of money that we're asking for, if not more, because it was months of effort to recover and re-enter data, and it involved literally tens of staff to do it. So, okay, moving on to the next item, application development software. This is a $225,000 item, general fund, and this project would provide us software to do various applications that help us prepare custom reports. That sounds like a lot of gobbledygook, so let me give you the best example that I can give you. One of the innovative things that we've done within Fish and Game is to convert the fish ticket system, which is when a commercial fisher sells their catch to a processor, they're issued a ticket. Months later, that data was entered. You know, there's a huge data time lag in terms of the gathering of information. What the eLandings program has done is allow real-time data collection. That's the good news. The bad news is that we are unable to at this point conveniently convert the data that we actually collected into efficient formats for reporting to the managers of the fisheries. So that this software will actually allow us to easily develop reports that can be used so that we can, you know, provide data during or in season while there's a, you know, commercial fishing opening. That's just one example of the software, but we hope to utilize the software in a lot of different ways as well.
I think there's been a need for several years to get quicker data into the fishing game.
Yes.
So you can manage the harvest levels. So nice to see that the permit's moving forward on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Moving forward, the next item is the Wildlife Conservation Response Team. This is deleted because it was moved from the capital budget to the operating budget. And I think that was done on the recommendation of Legislative Finance Division and with the concurrence of OMB. So, the next item is the Wood Bison Stocking and Release Program. Now that's at $150,000 of general fund. This is a stock and release program to establish up to 3 wood bison herds in the interior. And there's several aspects of that. To maintain, the first step obviously is to maintain the wood bison stock in captivity, and they're currently in the Girdwood area, and that will allow us to complete the disease testing and health certification and to allow for breeding to increase the number of wood bison available for the wild. The second step would be to is to complete the regulatory and planning hurdles that we have. The third item is construct temporary field camps and enclosures to at the release sites. Fourth step is transport of the wood bison to the release site. Fifth is conduct the initial biological monitoring of the wood bison herds. And finally, there's a staff element involved in this too. I do have Doug Larson online with Wildlife Conservation, who, if you have any questions, I think he would be available to answer.
Next item.
The next item is a hazardous site cleanup. This is an item that actually has been deleted from the capital budget, and as was explained, I think, by DNR, this item we felt could be put off for a year, so we've basically postponed this item. The next item is the assessment of Pacific salmon resources in the northern region. This again is an item that was moved from the capital budget to the operating budget. So the next item is the collection of genetic analysis of chum salmon tissues in western Alaska. This item is will allow us to continue our research to use the genetic stock identification to identify stock composition in western Alaska for chum salmon, and this will give us another year of data. But when we're finished with this effort, Fish and Game and the stakeholders will probably have an unprecedented level of information on the numbers and the distribution in space and the time of the various stocks in the AYK area. And this should allow us to improve estimates of productivity and fisheries impacts on various stocks.
So are you watching for the migration of the stocks north as the ice moves back, or?
I think I have John Hilsinger on the line, and maybe he could answer that question.
Mr. Hilsinger, if you could identify yourself for the record and then help us with the stock identification of dog salmon, please.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. My name is John Hilsinger. I'm the director of the Commercial Fisheries Division. This project samples the commercial and subsistence fisheries along the entire coast of Alaska from Chignik along the South Peninsula, the North Peninsula through Bristol Bay and all the way up to Norton Sound. So we'll actually get a good idea of how those stocks move throughout that entire area and the stock composition, whether any of these fish are being harvested in other fisheries, and that will help us develop better models of the productivity of the stocks by knowing what the actual harvest is, which, you know, in some cases may occur in areas outside of the terminal fishing areas.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's been a $750,000 reduction in this appropriation, and I was wondering if what effect that this reduction will have on this genetic stock analysis.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hoffman, the what we did was originally the request was for $1.5 million, and we split that into 2 years at $750,000 in each year. So as long as we get the $750,000 in the second year, we should be able to complete the project, and it shouldn't put us behind schedule.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. Please continue.
Okay, the next item, Mr. Chairman, is the Sport Fish Recreational Boating Access Project. This is an annual project, and the amount, the total amount is $3,100,000. And this basically authorizes the Division of Sport Fish to construct and upgrade boating and sport fish access facilities statewide from funds that are 75% federal and 25% fish and game fund match. And so the projects include items such as boat launches, mooring floats, parking lots, restroom, that type of thing.
And what projects are you looking at doing? And in particular, what is the department doing to finish Stargaven boat ramp in Sitka?
Mr. Chairman, Charlie Swanton, who's the sport fish director, is in the audience here, so if I could ask him to join me. But I could just tell you, you know, very briefly, we do have a very, very objective process that we go through annually that we work with the city and boroughs, cities in coastal Alaska in terms of vetting out, you know, projects that are eligible.
We also run a very objective process at this table.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Charlie Swanton. I'm the director of Sportfish, and I believe that...
put your mic up a little bit, John.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Charlie Swanton. I'm the director of Sportfish. I believe that the question, Mr. Chairman, was funds related to the completion of Stargaven, and I believe that those funds were... finish-up funds for that project were appropriated last year, and we're still in the process of finishing that off.
I don't think so. We'll just have a brief at ease. I think that item was vetoed. These little red gizmos. So if you could check on that, I'd appreciate it. The issue there is we've got a first-class facility with most of the uplands done. The dock in place is a double ramp, and it's very well received in the community. But the addition of the breakwater to protect the infrastructure that's built, and it's not a very big breakwater, but it's a needed a breakwater, needs to get constructed, or we'll have spent a lot of time and effort and money building a very nice facility that we don't get near the life expectancy out of it that we should. And I'd also like, if you could come back to the committee with, over the last, say, 3 or 4 years, what boat ramp projects you've done, and then over the next 2 or 3 years, what boat ramp targets that you have, you want to look at maintaining. I remember a couple of years ago after Stargaven, there was one up in the Mat-Su area. And I'd like to see if that one was constructed. What's the status of that?
Yes, sir. We will have that information for you quickly.
We are willing to work with you on getting these type of facilities built. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And since you said they're statewide, I need to look at that data to see if there is a fair distribution statewide.
But it, Stargaven is, when you go back and look at Stargaven and Sitka, it is very, very well received. You know, people go out there and do little picnics around the area, and it's, so if it's not a model of what to construct, it should be right at the top of your list. It is very nice. I just like to see that one finished, and Senator Hoffman requested we want to see the distribution around the state. As just a final note, a couple of years ago when we were working on these areas, there was a concern that some of us had that there was a lot of projects but not enough concentration on individual projects, trying to spread it too thin, where we wanted this more focused approach and build first-class boat ramps and get them done and then go to the next one, then go to the next one. So we have nice facilities around the state, so the committee's interested in what the philosophy of the department is too on this venture.
Yes, sir.
But it will be well received if, as far as we'll be more glad to help you do this.
Okay, moving along, the next item is the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Fund. This is, we're asking for $22 million in federal authorization. This is an annual item, and the Alaska portion, I mean, it's estimated to be up to $22 million. It probably will be less than that. But the funding comes through an MOU between the state and the U.S. Department of Commerce, and Fish and Game is designated as the state program manager. The overall objective is to assure that Alaska salmon fisheries are sustainable and continue to provide jobs and income for Alaska's families. So we have a fairly involved vetting process that we go through for folks to apply for these funds, and so the state can award grants. We also fund other agencies, and we enter into contracts to implement the various recommendations. I think John may still be online to answer any questions. I think in your notebooks too, there's a much more detailed briefing on this program. Moving along, the next item is the Cooperative Research Program. This is $455,000 in statutory designated program receipts. This project allows Fish and Game to accept funds from the private sector as well as local governments. And then we pass those funds on to the U.S. Geological Survey and the U.S. Natural Resources Conservation Service. And this basically allows those entities to match the money that comes from the state. And the reason that a private sector entity would do that is they, for the various permits for like major mines, such as the Pebble mine, baseline data, hydrological data is very important. And so the company, provides money. It comes through us. We send it to USGS, and they match it. So we're able to double the money, and they set up stream gauging equipment, and they gather the data that's necessary. And I believe the final item that we have is the permit card equipment for the e-landings program. And this is $138,000, and this funding source is the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission, otherwise known as CFEC. And this is CFEC is actually asking for this funding, and they need to replace embossing machines that actually generate the newfangled fish ticket thing that I was talking about earlier. And it's a plasticized card that has not only the magnetic strip on it, but also a barcode, so it can either be read through the, similar to a credit card or through the barcode system, but it's basically to take the place of the fish tickets. And Frank Holman, who's the chair of CFUC, is in the audience if you have any questions about that. And that is it, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, one standout. Well, thanks for the presentation. I recognize that there's a priority order in your list as far as desirability of the department. But one thing that does stick out is once you take out the $22 million in salmon recovery fund, you have a small request by your department.
Absolutely. That
hits a lot of people, not only on the coast, but within the rail belt, trying to get access to our streams and rivers and waterfronts. So I'm sure there'll be a discussion amongst the members when we get the list of boat ramps and what's facilities that the department feels is good for the state going forward. And then we can work with the department and the administration on how to go forward and get some of these facilities built, because they are extremely well received in all the towns I've been in and needed in quite a few more areas.
Okay. Look forward to it. Okay. Thank you.
Any other final comments? That will conclude today's meeting. Tomorrow, we'll reconvene at 9 a.m. We'll have the University of Alaska, Department of Ed, and Department of Public Safety. We'll see everybody back at 9 a.m. Meeting adjourned.